9 days, written by Tony Jordan and read by Caroline Lee and Tim Potter.
Some days, one hint of light peeking through the curtains and bam, you spring out of bed like the devil's after you, like you've been lying there all night just waiting for the day to begin so your legs can move. They're itchy and nervy, busting to get going, like you're sitting in the pictures waiting for the film to start. What's going to happen today, you think? That's how it mostly is. So I should have known by the way I didn't want to get up that things were bound to go wrong. The blankets were pressing on top of me, like they were saying, "Kip, don't move if you know what's good for you." I look over at Ma in the other bed. She's dead asleep facing the wall, a mound under her blanket, and a pile of coats and jumpers and even Dad's old clothes pulled out of drawers. France is squished next to me, his mouth open, all pink and white, teeth like headstones planted in marshmallow. He sounds like a cow that swallowed a whistle, his pillows dripping drool. It's bad luck for me and Ma, sharing a room with Francis. Connie's lucky. She has the camp bed in the laundry, on account of young ladies needing more privacy than boys or mothers. Get a load of that snoring. One day, some poor girl will have to marry him, and she'll never have another decent night's sleep as long as she lives. The bags under her eyes will be big enough to pack for a weekend at Dramana. Just look at him, the great white hope. It's all right for Francis, because he doesn't need to get up for a good 2 hours, and I'm supposed to be real quiet in case I disturb his royal geniusness, but he could do with some disturbing if you ask me. It's not going to get any easier. It's like diving in the Yarra, it's that cold. So I pretend I'm Mawson and get dressed quick as, and then tiptoe past Mrs. Keith's room because she sleeps to nearly 10. Then I'm out the back door where my boots are waiting. The air slaps me in the face, wakes me up good and proper. Soon it'll be pinky light, twinkly light, and the stars will turn in for a bit of a nap themselves. But now in the cold dark, you can feel the great city waking. If I look down the side, past the gate to Rowena Parade, I'd see men in their dirty boots and worn coats wrapped tight, heading round the corner down Lennox Street and across Swan to the IXL factory, or a bit further along to Brian and May. I can almost hear the tramp of them, boots on bluestones, caps pulled over ears. Those blokes are the workers. There's a whole different lot in white shirts and ties and waistcoats and hats with newspapers under their arms who also walk down Lennox to Swan to catch a tram to the city. Our house here in Rowena Parade is the spot where blokes get divided into proper workers and office men. Me, I'm one of the proper workers. You can smell every factory in Richmond from our little backyard when the wind's right. Between the end of the footy finals and Easter, the hot sweet of the jam hits you first, then the tomato sauce, next burning malt and hops,